Good morning. If you will, please take your Bibles and open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In a little bit, we're going to read several verses there. You know, there might be some here today who are actually thinking or perhaps wondering if God has a plan for your life. You know, we as human beings, we love to plan things, don't we? We plan birthday parties. We plan retirement parties. We plan on going on a vacation. You know, you make a list of everything that needs to be done around the house because you're going to make plans when you have time to start improvements. But as the old saying goes, the plans of mice and men, many times those plans, they seem well-meaning. We many times have the attitude and the willingness to carry out those plans. Yet as time goes by, the plan is still written down somewhere, forgotten. And you know, our life as Christians many times are kind of like the plans that we have set before us, but as time goes by, we tend to overlook, forget, misplace those plans. So the question is this: does God have a plan for your life? Have you ever really agonized over making the right choices in life? Have we struggled with determining what the will of God is? Many times we will agonize over perhaps taking this job or that job. We rationalize, we think, we determine in our minds that, you know, maybe God wants us to go in this direction for that job or go to that direction for the job over there. Maybe we do the same thing when we're contemplating moving. Does God want us to move here, or does God want us to move over there? And perhaps even more surprising, many times we agonize over the fact of, does God want us to attend worship with this congregation or a congregation over in another town, another city? The questions really are endless. Then perhaps we wonder if we've messed up God's master plan for our lives because we've made the wrong choices or the wrong decisions. But I'd like to suggest to you this morning that if this is how you are viewing God's plan for your life, then perhaps you might need a better understanding of what is meant or for what it means for God to have a plan for your life. So first of all, let's kind of look at some things that what God's plan is not. Now we all, and we'll get into this here just in a few moments, but These are simply things that God's plan is not. So we can rest assured that if we've been thinking about these things here being God's plan for our lives, that perhaps we need to change directions. First of all, God's plan or will for your life is not dependent upon your ability to discern everyday decisions of life. Now, did you understand what I just said? God's plan or God's will for your life is not dependent upon your ability to discern everyday decisions of life. And the reason I say that is because God is not your life coach. You know, today, many people want a life coach. You know, someone who is going to be there and say, now, wait a minute, you don't want to do that. This is what you need to be doing. So let's change direction and get over on this project or whatever. People like to have a life coach, don't they? Because it relieves us from making perhaps a wrong decision on this or that. But God is not our life coach, giving us minute-by-minute instructions concerning choices that we each face every day in our life. I can guarantee you right now that God does not care if you want pepperoni on your pizza or sausage. He don't care. God does not care if you want to paint your walls in your house a bright pink or green. God don't care. God does not care if you want to drive a Chevrolet or a Ford or a Toyota or a Cadillac. But too many times we agonize over the fact that, are we making the right decision? Are we making the decision that God wants us to make? God is not our life coach. He is not going to give us minute-by-minute instructions concerning our life choices. Now, God does inform us on how we should live. Secondly, experience alone should convince us of the truth that God does not discern our everyday choices. God's plan is not discerned by our desires. You know, too many times we think that our desires is what God wants us to be doing. You know what happens when we let our desires run our life? Many times we find great agony in those desires because it brings us many times to ruin. We simply cannot assume something is God's plan because we want it. As they say, this actually gets the horse before the cart. When we assume something is God's plan because we want it, then it's our desire and not what God wants. So now, we're going to look at some passages of Scripture to try to determine what God's plan really is for our life. This is Scripture, not me. It's going to help us to truly come to an understanding of what God's plan is for our life. Are you ready? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Brother Tony read this verse a few moments ago. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So Paul right here is telling us that we can know what the will of the Lord is for our lives. He said, don't be unwise. Don't be foolish, but understand. Understand what the will of the Lord is for your life. You know, many times people may claim, well, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I just don't understand what God wants out of me. Well, Paul tells us here that we cannot be unwise, but to know what the will of the Lord is. So it's something that we can know. All right, let's look at another verse. First of all, as I stated, God expects us to know what his plan is for our lives. And secondly, God's plan is for you to be reconciled to him and to accept his offer of salvation. That's a plan. Notice, if you will, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Peter here very plainly tells us this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Okay? But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the plan that God has for us. His plan for us is not to perish, but to come to repentance. You know, when someone shouts out, I just don't understand what God desires of me or what God wants me to do. Well, Peter tells us right here, God does not want us to perish, and he wants all to come to repentance. Now, that's a plan, isn't it? You know, not perishing to me is a pretty good plan. So then we come to this. If you will, notice this. God's plan for you is to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with the Lord. How do I know that that's God's plan? How do I know that is what God desires of me? Well, Micah tells us in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He says here, he has shown thee, O man, what is good. God has shown us what's good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Micah asked the question, not me. Okay? What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord requires of thee. The Lord's plan for you is to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly in our daily lives with the Lord. Does that seem too difficult? Again, when someone's claiming, I just simply don't know what God wants out of me, what's his plan for my life? Well, Micah tells us again to love mercy, to walk humbly with God, and to do justice. That's not really all that hard, I don't believe. Now, you should have your Bibles open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Start reading verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God. Wow. That's almost like this is the plan that God has for your life. Okay? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. That's a plan. Abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Abstain from fornication. If we do that, then it shows that we have possession of our bodies in sanctification and honor. Then he goes on in verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence or great lust, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Don't live lustfully, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Now, this one here sometimes is very difficult for us to understand, especially this verse 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. That's God's will for us. That's God's plan for our lives. Not to defraud one another. Because the Lord is the avenger of all. As we have also forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Verses 3, 4, 5, 6 is all summed up in verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Brothers and sisters, that is God's plan for your life. His plan is to not live in uncleanliness, but live holy lives. God's plan is not difficult. If we truly understand what the will and the plan is of God. But too many times within this plan that God has designed for us, we like to inject our desires, our wants, and yes, sometimes even our needs. Many times we feel that our need outweighs the plan of God. Well, God, you know, Father, I just don't see how you expect me to do this when I've got this over here that I need to take care of. God expects us to know what his plan is for our lives. And what Paul writes here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7, pretty much sums up the plan. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. But you know, it goes just a little bit farther. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks. For this is the what? What is this? This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Again, Paul puts it out straightforward, doesn't he? If we want to know what the will of God is, Paul tells us here that in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then we can read over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Yeah, this is part of God's plan for our lives. That we walk in good works. We have been created. We are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. That's part of God's plan. When we set out and develop a plan, there are certain things that need to be done. Am I correct? When you make a plan, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and however many you have. Now, you know, many times, you know, we can start at the bottom of the list because that's perhaps one of the most important things that needs to be done first. But most times we put the most important things as number one and then number two. So we start at the top of the list and we start working the plan by accomplishing number one. Am I right? You know, again, sometimes we can start in the middle or the bottom. It depends on what is the most important thing to be done. But too many times when it comes to God's plan for our lives, we get confused. We don't know where to start. Should I start with number one or number 10? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So where should we start there? Well, I would assume that since we've been, you know, created in Christ Jesus, we're his workmanship unto good works, that any good work is a good place to start. Now, I may be wrong, but I think any good work would be the best place to start and then continue on. And then Paul tells Timothy this. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved? That's the will of God. It is the will of God that all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Brothers and sisters, we do not need to agonize over the plan that God has for our lives because the Bible explicitly tells us exactly what the will of God is. It tells us what the plan is. It tells us that we need to be reconciled to him. We need to accept his offer of salvation. We need to do justice and love kindness, walk humbly. We need to be holy and honest. And we need to give thanks to God every day. We need to do good works. And we need to be saved. Now, notice this. None of the day-to-day decisions that we make matter. Okay? If we have respect for God's overarching plan for our lives, God has a plan for your life. God's plan for our lives is to use our gifts and our talents to His glory. No matter what choices or circumstances that we face in life, God does not care about what color you paint your house. But He does care if we're reconciled to Him. He does care if we accept His offer of salvation. He does care for us to do justice and to love kindness. And He does care that we walk humbly with Him. He does care that we be holy and honest. He does care that we give thanks to Him daily. And He does care and wants us to be saved. So this morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian and perhaps you are struggling with what God's plan would be in your life, hopefully this lesson has shown you your need for salvation. And if you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, would you come? Or if you're here and already a child of God, or perhaps see in your life that you have been confused of God's plan and you wish the prayers of the saints, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Jesus is calling, calling, calling. Why should I linger, linger, linger? I will arise and away. They are so happy, 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 who do their Savior obey. Why should I linger, linger? I will arise and away. Jesus is pleading, pleading, pleading. Why should I wander in sin? While to His glory, 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 glad He would welcome me. Happy, happy, who do their Savior obey? Why should I linger,
linger,
linger? I will arise and away. Jesus is waiting, waiting, waiting. Open now, standeth the door. Soon the night falleth, falleth, falleth. Close.
For the Lord's Supper this morning, we'll sing number 495. 495.
Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid, in His suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing back sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary. How my heart humbly bows in his presence today when I think of his agony. By his stripes I am freed from the bondage of sin through his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and free, and the debt for my sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary. Oh, what marvelous mercy, what infinite love, what immeasurable grace I see. By his blood I am cleansed, I am happy and free, through his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free, and the depth for my sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary.
We partake of the Lord's Supper each and every first day of the week to remember the great love that Christ had for us to come to this earth and die on the cross for our sins so that we could be free from him, as the song we just sang exemplified. Let's give thanks for the bread. Our most gracious Holy Father in heaven, we thank you for this bread which represents the body of your Son that was given on the cross in our stead. We're thankful for that sacrifice, Father, what it means to us today. We ask that you bless it and those that partake of it. We ask these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Again, our most holy Father in heaven, we come before you, thanking you for this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed by your Son on the cross for our sins. We're so thankful for that sacrifice, and we pray, Father, that we will partake of it in a manner that is pleasing to you. We ask that you bless us as we partake of it and help us to reflect on those things. In your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper, but we're also told our last act of worship is to give as we've been prospered so that we can support the work of the church and spread the gospel. Let's pray for our, give thanks for our blessings. Our high and holy Father in heaven, we come before you, thanking you for the numerous blessings that you bestow upon us as we travel through this earthly life. Father, we thank you for everything that you give us, everything that we have. And we pray, Father, that we will give as we've been prospered and as we purposed in our heart so that we may further the work of thy kingdom. We pray, Father, that you will be with each and every one of us that we can give according to your word, and that we will use the money wisely. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. That concludes our service today. Let's remember our afternoon worship at 4:30 today, Wednesday night Bible study at 6 p.m., and remember our pitch-in is next Sunday, and we'll have a devotional following services. Did you have something else?
Well, I
was just going to
say I forgot about the
pitch-in
next Sunday.
I like to eat, so I'm not going to forget that. So if you're willing and able, go ahead and stand, and we'll ask Brother Russell to lead us in our closing prayer.
Well, with me in prayer, please. Holy Father, we come before Thee this day to give Thee thanks for this opportunity that we've been blessed with, Father, to come together and to see brothers and sisters of like faith, hear your word taught from the Bible, Father, and to sing songs of praises to Thee. We're so thankful for that, and so thankful for your Son that gave His life upon the cross for our sins, Father. May we always strive to be better servants for Thee and to pay back part of the debt that He paid for us on the cross. We'd ask your blessings, Father, upon all the sick that was mentioned here this day. Continue to bless them, Father, and bless their recovery. And we're thankful for those that have been sick, Father, and are on this list of getting better. And we ask your blessings upon those this week that have to have surgery. We ask you to be with Sandy, she has to go and have more surgery done, and continue to be with John and his eye problem, and continue to be with each and every one of us, Father, and bless those traveling that are away from us this day. And we're so thankful, Father, for your word, for the power that it has to convict us of our sins. And we ask all your blessings upon Sister Megan, as she travels through life as well as the rest of us, Father. We need your blessings and your strength every day to continue to do the things and that would be right and pleasing, acceptable in Thy sight. Forgive us, Father, of our sins, our shortcomings, our thoughts, and go with us through this day and throughout life. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.